Tired of him, I reckon. Luke chapter 17, give you a chance to get there. Amen.
Man.
Yes, sir. Supposed to be hot all week. Hot and dry. Stay low. I was sharing with Brother Smith there, man. Last month I ate a bit something and chipped a tooth off on the backside over here. And then right after that, I got that sty in my eye, like never got rid of that. Yesterday I was eating shelled pistachio nuts. They ain't no shell on them. And busted a tooth off on this side. I got to go to the dentist and get that fixed. I said, man, it's one thing after another, man. Huh? Yeah, we're going to change the deductible on our insurance. When we get down here towards the winter, man alive. Luke chapter 17, verse 26. And the Bible says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight, Lord. I pray that you be with us as we preach and as we look to your word tonight. I pray you speak to our hearts. Lord, help us have an open mind, heart. And Lord, we know you have a message for us. Lord, help us to be attentive. And our every need we have, physical, spiritual need, whatever it is, Lord, I pray you deal with us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of the message, I didn't get any notes out tonight, Remember Lot's Wife. You know, God always has a purpose, and God's plan has always been to maintain a testimony for himself in the world, in this ungodly world. And that testimony, of course, is through his people. He called Abraham to separate himself and to separate, and he left his family. He had to leave his family. He had to leave his country. He had to leave his friends behind, and it was going to be a place of God's choosing. It was to be a separated life. The Bible said that he dwelt in tents because he was going to be a sojourner, a traveler in this land. This world was no longer going to be his home, and he was told not to mingle with the other tribes, not to pollute himself, and not to pollute his character and his witness with the other tribes. Now, it doesn't mean that he couldn't lead people to God or point people to the one true God, as the same as our testimony today. We live in the world that we live in. We have to love the lost. We have to be a witness for the lost. But at the same time, we don't have to mingle in the sense in character and conduct with the lost. You know, we're to be as separated. The Bible says, uses the term peculiar. It's a little different definition than what we would use for peculiar, to be a peculiar people. And so when we think about Abraham, he left, and the Bible tells us that Lot left with him. I believe that Lot was sincere in what he did. The Bible says that he was called by God. He was called a righteous man. Lot was himself. But the problem with Lot was a follower and not a leader. And most people are followers and not leaders. And so he was as well. He didn't have the leadership ability. And Abraham... And Lot eventually, because of the blessings of God, God had blessed them with their cattle and their herds of all types of animals, and it got to be some contention between Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen, but you know, for water and grass, and so there was some strife developing. So they decided, hey, we need to separate just a little bit. And Abraham said, Lot, I'll tell you what, I'll let you pick first. You go that way, I'll go that way. And if you go that way, I'll go that way. You got the first choice. And so the Bible tells us that Lot went down toward the plains, down towards Sodom because the area was well watered. It had good grass. It was good for cattle. And so he looked down there, and that's the direction that he went in. And so when that happened, when Lot left and when he went towards, of all places on earth, and we know about Sodom and Gomorrah, we know, and because God destroyed it with fire and brimstone, we just read about that, we know that. Of all places for Lot to go, that's the direction that he had to go in. You know, I mean, there's places to go. I mean, I'm just thinking to myself, there's got to be a better place to go. There's got to be, this can't be the only place on the face of the earth that's got water and grass for cattle. We're going to go down there. There's a wicked city down there, a wicked place. The last place I'm taking my family is to go down there and live next to Sodom. Now, I don't think Lot went down there and lived next to Sodom right away or in Sodom right away, but I think he got close. And that was really the first step in leaving a separated life. You know how sin, listen, sin works. I'm going to tell you what, error works in the things of God. It doesn't work in a big blast, man. It's little by little, chip by chip, just a little bit off, just a little bit off here and there, and you're going to be off the farther you go down the road, the farther off track you're going to be. And the very first step in Lot leaving or getting off on that separated path, off of the separated path, was when he started to go down there towards Sodom. And so one step led to another, and it wasn't long. That tent life that they were called to dwell in, to be wanderers and not to be settled in the world. The next thing you know, he gave up the tent life and he ended up living within the city walls. I mean, got down there and lived in that wicked city. And so he gave up. It's an easier life. You know what I mean? You're living in the city. I know people, boy, if they can't see Walmart from where their house is, buddy, they think they're suffering. I mean, they got to be right there downtown where they can walk to everything and get everything. They don't want to have to drive anywhere. And I'm the opposite, man. I don't want to be down in. I lived around that stuff, lived in Northern Virginia inside the Beltway. You need to have your head examined if you live inside the Beltway. But as we know, politicians are all up there. I don't want to live in that kind of environment. I mean, but it's the easier life. He started looking for ease. That's another problem right there. And so he moved into the city. I remember when I was working in Washington, D.C., we went our shop. I was a boiler maker, and we did a lot of anything had to do with high-pressure steam. Boilers is what all your high-rises get, heat and hot water, hospitals, steam, hot water, whatever you got to have. So all your high building, big apartment complex, everything's got boilers. We worked on them things. And we'd have to go down into Washington, D.C., and we had a contract to do all the government work. And there's government housing projects. And I remember, man, you talking about the slums, man, and keeping your head down and keep moving. I mean, they had some nice things, but it wasn't nothing but drugs, guns, prostitutes. Man, I'm telling you, every kind of vice and crime that was committed, I mean, you would get ready to go across the street and look in the gutter. There'd be hypodermic needles laying there at your feet. Watch where you step, where the dope heads were shooting up heroin. There'd be a lot of other things I could tell you about, but I won't tell you about what you would see out on the street. And I mean, just watching, 20, 30, 40 young men and women in their 20s, under 20 somewhere, all hanging around all day long, every day. What are they doing for a living? They're selling drugs, man. It looked like Ronald McDonald's on Friday night and Thursday and Friday out there on the streets, the cars. This is the craziest. You can't believe it from living here. As bad as the world is, you couldn't believe it living here. It looked like a drive-in window from Thursday night through Friday night and Saturday night. Cars pulling up and the guys going out there selling crack and getting the money for it. That was the hot lick back then, crack. And they were selling money and getting the money, and they would just go back and forth, and one car after another, just one after another. And you telling me the police couldn't do something about that? I could figure out in 10 minutes who had the drugs, who had the money, who was doing running, going and getting the drugs, just sitting there observing it while I had my lunch. Figure it all out, man. I mean, it went on. And I used to think to myself, you see these young girls, 12 years old out there, man, on drugs, selling drugs, doing drugs. People are living in them government housing projects. And I thought to myself, I said, man, if I had to raise my family in this mess right here, I'd get me a tent is what I would go live from campground to campground to campground and take my family out of the middle of that mess right there. Because I'm going to tell you what, is a 99.9% chance if you were raising your kids in that government housing project. And all this within sight, you could walk out on North Capitol Street, and old Sibley Plaza was one of them, high-rise thing. You could walk out on North Capitol Street, and there's the Capitol building of the United States right there, right down the block, looking right at it on North Capitol Street. Broad daylight, man. I was at broad daylight working on the end of a boiler, got a drop light hanging on one end with a big old tube motor, which ain't no good for nothing but rolling up tubes. And I'm at the other end talking to somebody else, and I saw the drop light swinging in broad daylight. I mean, I'm down in the boiler room. I went walking down the other end. When I got to the other end, there's a guy with the tube motor done stole it while I'm from here to the piano on the other end of the boiler. A guy come in there and stole it. Me and another guy standing there talking, and he's heading out of the boiler room, and I walked around the corner. When he got top steps, for some reason, he looked at me. I said, he walked right down there. Eyes all like this. Eyes glazed over. Been smoking so much crack, he didn't know where he was at. Handed it back to me. Only reason I'm telling you that, this is the corrupt city that you're living in. You had to watch everything. We would go and work in buildings, and they would break in our truck and steal our tools while we were working on their building, trying to give them heat and hot water. Our electrician went to a boiler room one time. His outside boiler room had a lock on the door. He was in there working. They locked him in there and then busted into his truck and started stealing all of his stuff. And this is back before you had cell phones, couldn't call nobody. I'm going to raise my family in that? No, sir, I'd be living in a tent. I would take my family out of there and live on the side of the road. I wouldn't live in that stuff down there in the middle of that and raise my kids in that. But here's exactly what Lot did. Gave it up, went down there, lived in that wicked city with all the wicked influence. Now, I want to tell you something. Lot didn't indulge in those sins. Lot didn't become a sodomite. He didn't go and cease to be a good person, because the Bible tells us there that his soul is that wickedness of that city vexed his righteous soul. Well, get out. Why be vexed every day living in the middle of that? So he didn't cease to be good, but he ceased to be a faithful witness for God. See, it was hard for him to be a witness and tell those people what they were doing was against God while you lived in the midst of it. See, it's just like there's things that what people see. What do they see? Well, why? They would have asked the same question. Well, why are you living here if you think this is wrong? He didn't have a testimony, and it's the same with us. And I'll tell you another thing. It said he vexed his righteous soul. He wasn't happy. Why live where you're not happy? Why live in, especially what I'm talking about when it comes to wickedness? His witness would have been a lot more powerful if he'd have remained outside of the city and went to the city and preached to them there. But no, he dwelt in the middle of it, and it was a problem. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:17, come out from among them and be ye separate. That's New Testament, right? That's what the Bible tells us, come out from among them. It's not talking about not going to witness to somebody. It's not talking about reaching out to the lost. It's talking about living amongst them and then getting involved in that character and conduct of what they're in their midst. It says, come out, separate yourself from that. And you would have thought later on that after Sodom was destroyed, that Lot would have went on back to closer to Abraham, get a little closer to God's people, get a little farther away from the wickedness, but he didn't. He just stayed right there after all, right up pretty close by. He stayed pretty close by. Sodom had been destroyed, but he didn't do that. But verse 32 says this. It said, remember Lot's wife. It doesn't say remember Lot. It says remember Lot's wife. And so we're going to take a little look in the Word of God, just go through this looking at what Lot's wife. You know, Lot's wife, she had been in the world. She loved the world, and she could barely tear herself. You know how the story went. It's in the Old Testament. And you have to read over there and see. But you know what happened when the city was going to be destroyed and they got drug out of the city, and then God told them not to look back. And Lot's wife, she looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. She had the world in her. The world was in her, and she loved the world, and she just couldn't tear herself away from the world. And she was commanded not to look back. But you know what happened? She presumed upon God. And I'm going to tell you something, man. This is a thing that blows my mind today. I mean, you can preach till you're blue in the face. You can preach the Word of God. You can tell people the truth. And I'm going to tell you what, they look at you and listen to what you've got to say and go right on living in sin, just like God's not going to do anything about it. You know what she did? She looked back and said, well, you know what? God ain't going to do nothing about it. I know I'm commanded not to do it. I know I'm not going to do that, but I'm just going to look back. I got to look back one more time. And she looked back and she presumed upon God. Man, I'm going to tell you what, if you're going to listen to the Word of God and you're going to be convicted by the Word of God and say, well, you know, God's all love and God's not going to do anything to me and I'm just going to go ahead and just flat out disobey God, you see what happens. Huh? You see what happens. Flat out just said, I don't care what God said. I'm going to do it. I want to do. That's what people do. They don't care what God said. You're going to wind up in hell. Huh, she ended up dead. I'm tell you what, she wasn't a dead saved person. She is a dead lost person. And I mean, she was dead in a hurry right there. She died on the spot. On the very spot, presuming upon God. Man, I mean, that'd be a scary thing. Man, I mean, I know we get off into sin, we slip off into sin. I'm tell you what, and every time we do, and if you've been saved any amount of time, you know what the Bible says. And you know what you say when you say, well, I don't care what the Bible says, I'm going to do what I want. It's a miracle right there that God don't kill you. It's a miracle. And God's got a right. Especially as a saved person, because he chastened those whom he loved. And you get to be a bad testimony, but I'll tell you what, if you're lost, he still, there's no guarantee for you either. Right there, listen, you have to flee from the world or we're going to perish with the world. So the Bible tells us there to remember Lot's wife. I got some points for you to remember right there. Number one, remember that she was Lot's wife. Remember that she was Lot's wife. She was the wife of a man who even with all his faults was a righteous man. He was a righteous man. I mean, she saw that. She saw his conduct. She saw his character. She heard him talk. She probably heard him pray. He wasn't perfect, but she saw some qualities. He was a righteous man. I mean, she was in the closest possible union that a person can be other than with Jesus Christ in a human relationship, a husband-wife relationship. She was in that relationship with Lot. Didn't help her out, though. Didn't help her along the way. And at one time, they dwelt with Abraham. I was reading about that a little bit. They are presuming that Lot married her later on after they left, because when they left Haran with Abraham, it said Abraham and his wife left Haran, but it said, and Lot, his nephew Lot. It doesn't say Lot and his wife, so that's kind of an indication that he didn't have her when he left, so he married her somewhere between there and down here towards Sodom, and it's possible that she came from that city. She loved it so much, it's not impossible, but we don't know about that for sure. But you know what? She dwelt with Abraham. There was a time that they were dwelling together. Probably he had his wife when the herds got too big and they separated just a little bit. We don't know where he got her, but if she did, she was able to see the privilege. She was able to see the provision that God Almighty had been blessing upon these people right here, upon her husband Lot and upon Abraham as well. She saw that blessing. She was able to experience that firsthand. She had to surely know that there was one true God. She had to know that God was who God said it was. Listen, I'm going to tell you what, but you know what? She perished in her sin in spite of that. See, no human relationship is going to help you in a sin. I mean, there's not that there's no help, but ultimately, a human relationship can encourage you. A human relationship can lead you in a direction, but ultimately, you have to make the decision to follow Jesus Christ. It don't matter if your daddy's a pastor. It don't matter if your granddaddy's a pastor. It don't matter if you got a godly wife. It doesn't matter if you have a godly husband. It doesn't matter if your brothers and sisters are all deacons on the deacon board. It doesn't make any difference about that. You know, you have to make that decision to follow Christ. And you have to be only that relationship. And if you're personally destitute of spiritual life, those relationships will not ultimately do it for you. They may help you get there, but they can't do it for you. And it doesn't matter, like I say, if everybody else that you know and everybody in your family is saved and born again, the Bible's clear that ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. So she was Lot's wife. She had shared in some things. She had shared in Lot's journey, and she had shared in Lot's trials. And, like I said, she had seen that provision, that protection, yet she was still lost. Look in verse 34 and 36, I didn't read that far, but look at this. In the same chapter, Luke chapter 17. I tell you that in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Now here's some people that had personal relationships. They had relatives that were together. And notice it didn't, those relatives didn't help them. It's talking about when the Lord comes back for his people. It didn't do anything for them because they had to have their relationship with God. She also, the third thing there, she shared in her husband's errors. You know, I wondered about this. I just wondered about how much influence that she had on Lot. I'd say she had some influence. Like I said, I don't believe Lot wasn't leadership material. Lot was more of a follower. He went with Abraham. It was God that spoke to Abraham, not Lot. Abraham's the one that was going to leave, and Lot decided to leave with him. Somebody said that Lot had what was called a lean-to religion. He couldn't stand on his own. He had to lean upon Abraham's faith just a little bit to get where he was going. And I see this a lot in churches too. There's a lot. I say I'm going to be more critical of the men in this area than the women, but there's a lot of men that have to lean on their wife's faith because they don't have the faith on their own. It's a lean-to religion. If mama don't want to go to church, daddy's not going. If mama don't take the kids to church, daddy's not going. If mama's not going to have prayer time at home, daddy's not going to have it. If mama don't read her Bible, daddy's not going to, and probably doesn't anyway. I mean, it's leaning on somebody else's faith or somebody else's religion along the way. And so I think that probably what might have happened, you know what, she might have started complaining. I'm just assuming, but just think about it. She's the one that had a worldly heart. The Bible doesn't say that she was a righteous woman. It says Lot was a righteous man. But I know that, you know what, probably just think about it. You know how it gets. Lot was wanting to live in a separated life. He knew that he was supposed to be separated, living in tents. They got down there a little. He led his family too close to Sodom, no doubt. But it might have been her that said, you know what, I'm just sick and tired of living in this separated life. All the other women that I know, they got all these city conveniences. Man, why don't we move into the city, get a house, man? You got a family out here, we're living in tents. I'm just not happy living out. I'd like to move on down to Sodom. Maybe it was her that had some influence on Lot in moving to the city, complaining about that separated life that they were supposed to live. But at any rate, you know what, they ended up moving in and they lived and they raised their children in the liberal spirit of that city. And I'm going to tell you what, it was a mistake. You're not going to live around a liberal spirit and not have that influence you. I don't care in what area of your life. I don't care if it's in your city life, whatever it is. I mean, you get around a bunch of liberal theologians, you're going to think like they think. I mean, you're not going to live in a liberal environment and not infect you somehow. And so what happened was their thought process was, you know what, well, you know, and like I said, there's no indication whatsoever that they participated in the wicked sins of the city, but somehow along the way they compromised with it in their mind at least. At least they didn't say, oh, look at that, let's get out of Dodge. Because, you know, if you know the whole story about Lot, listen, man, I mean, there was some angels came and stayed with them, brother. They stayed in their house, and the wicked men, the men of the city was so wicked that they surrounded the city and wanted to take them men and have sexual relations with them men outside at night. And Lot had to go outside, and it got so bad the angels had to drag him back in the door before anything happened, and God struck him down with blindness in the middle of the city. I mean, this was a wicked... You compromise in your mind somehow because all that was going on out there all the time, and you lived in the middle of that. And so, you know, here we got two people that are raising their families in that mistake. And Lot's wife went along the way, and she probably helped lead in those errors as well. And I'm telling you what, it ended up being a bad deal right there. Here's another point right here, the second point. Remember, Lot's wife moved towards being saved. She moved towards being saved. She's almost saved. Missed it by that much. She moved in that direction towards being saved. You know, that day when there it said, you know, in the Genesis account, the Bible says that angels came and warned them that God was going to judge the city and they had to get out of town. And I believe that she moved, and I believe she got early and she prepared, rose up that day, and she got ready to get out of the city. And you know what? She even went out of the city, and she even got so far as getting to the plain. She got out there with her husband. She got out there part of the way. She was on the way. But man, she just couldn't tear herself away from that world back there. And she just had to look back. Just that one more time. So she was on her way. But I think what happened, she started thinking. She started going. I'm going to tell you what. Have you ever done something and your heart's not in it? She started going, but her heart wasn't in going. Her heart was in staying. And I believe as she was going, man, she started thinking about what she was leaving behind. I'd have been thinking about what I was leaving behind, too, and been glad of it, brother. I didn't need to see it again. But she just had to look back one more time. She had, even though she knew she wasn't supposed to, her heart was so attached to that city that she had, even though she knew it was going to be destroyed, she was told not to look back. She had to look back one more time. She thought about it, and she started to drag her feet, and she started lingering back. I believe it was like this. I believe it started out with maybe Lot in his front with his wife. You know how the husband like helps the wife along? And she started, next thing she got behind, and I always walk faster than Sherry. Man, everywhere we go, I have to walk and wait a little while. So she kept, I just can't walk that slow. And see, but I believe she started dragging a little bit back. And everybody kept going, and she started falling behind. Because why? Because, you know when your heart's not really in it, man, you just kind of go. And when your heart's, and when you're enthusiastic, you know, you getting out of dodge. I think she just was shuffling her feet, and she started slipping around and falling back. She was wanting to leave, but she lingered just a little back. She went part way. And there's a lot of people that do that. There's a lot of people that'll go part way towards being saved. There's some people that say, well, you know what? I know. I talk, people tell me to get this line right here all the time. I know I need to get back in church. I need to start coming to church. And church is good, listen, but just coming to church, they don't give you a time card to clock in out there with, and, you know, you get points ringing up in heaven for it. It's good to be here. You might hear the word of God. But I'm going to tell you, well, you're not going to be saved because you come to church. You could get saved from coming to church, but you're not saved because you came to church. You know, for that, just that one effort right there. And so a lot of people will say, well, you know what? I need to come to church. And they might say, well, hey, the preacher said I need to come down there and get saved. I guess I'll do that. And they go down and get saved. And then they get baptized. We're going to go down. We're going to take it down. They get baptized. And maybe join up with the church and everything. And maybe get on some committee doing something, fixing something. But then when it comes down to separating from the world, oh, preacher, man, we're going to draw the line right there. Huh, you meddling now. We're going to draw the line. We're not going to separate from the world. Huh? And there they are, look like the world, talk like the world, dress like the world, act like the world, got the world's customs, got the world's habits. Man, they got so much of the world, you're not really sure. Look at the church today. You can't tell to save people from the lost people by looking at them. And, I mean, that's a two-sided thing right there because God sees the heart, and I understand that. But I'm going to tell you what, I know a duck when I see one, right? And when a sparrow lands down there on the side of the old water thing, I know it's not a duck. You know, even though they both got feathers, they both got beaks, they both got eyes, they both got feet, but there's something about that sparrow that tells me it's not a duck, right? And there's something about a worldly-looking person that tells me they're not a Christian. There's something about that right there. Amen? This is good stuff right here. I'm going to get down here and amen myself here in just a second. Huh? Listen, so what happens is people, when they'll go so far with God. You know, we got them right here, brother. We got them. And I'm not picking on them either. I'm just telling you, there's people that'll be here every Sunday morning. Bless God, they'll be here come heck or high water. But when it comes to coming back on Sunday night, they ain't coming, brother, come heck or high water. They're not going to do it because we're only going to go so far. Huh? When it comes to coming on Wednesday night, they're not going to do it. Man, we got every excuse under the sun, and there's excuses and reasons. They ain't never the same. I don't care. When it comes to church, it's never the same. Seldom the same. Maybe shouldn't say never, but seldom the same. And they're not going to do any more than what they're doing already because it's going to require some separation from the world, and we're not separate anymore from the world. Got a love affair with that world. And so we see it right there in the world today. And so, listen to this. An angel from God had to take Lot's wife by the hand and drag her out of the city. How close to being saved can you get? You got an angel from God latching on to your hand. You know, and you ever had your little kid somewhere, like you guys got one. You ever get a little kid and they want to do something else and you get them by the hand and you're trying to take them and they don't want to go and they're dragging along behind her. And they're looking back like at me mom, you know. You ever see that? Huh? You ever see a little kid do that? That's exactly Lot's wife. An angel from God's got her by the hand, dragging her out of a city that's going to be destroyed with fire and brimstone. And she's like, you know, she just had to look back because she didn't want to leave. And she didn't want to leave that fast. Angel, man, that close to being saved. You got an angel dragging you to salvation. She looked back. God told her not to do it. Heart issue, certainly. Certainly a heart issue. You couldn't get any closer to being saved than Lot's wife. Couldn't happen. Angel had her by the hand. She was out of the city, almost saved. She looked back. She died on the spot. Died on the spot. Lost. The third point, remember Lot's wife perished through sin. Perished through sin. That first sin I told you about was she lingered behind. She lingered behind. See, the first sign in folks who claim to be saved but are really not is this. Sometimes, you know, at first it's all new and excitement, man. And like I said this morning, we talked about, listen, you can't do nothing godly without the Holy Spirit of God. You can't love God like you should without the Holy Spirit of God. You can't live for God without the Holy Spirit of God. You got to have the power of God on your life to live for God. I'm going to tell you that right now. So a lot of people in their own energy, they can go get a haircut and they can get the white shirt. They can get their tie and get the big KJV Bible, man, and they can, you know, get on in here. They can do that for a little while. But see, if your heart's not in it, next time I'm dragging my feet about going to Sunday school. I'm dragging my feet about going to church today. I'm dragging my feet about going to church tonight. And after a while, see that pull of the world start to backslide. And I've seen it over the years. I've seen people get in and run just pretty strong for a little while, and I've seen people get in and run strong for a long while. Sure enough, cream rises to the top. After a while, it's not real. Can't fake it, but so long. After a while, they start falling back. They start falling back just a little bit farther and a little bit more and a little bit farther. And next thing you know, they miss a Sunday every now and then. And the next thing you know, they're missing about half the time. And the next thing you know, they're missing three quarters of the time. And the next thing you know, they just fall slam out. Why? Because their heart ain't in it. Their heart ain't in it. Their heart's back in the world and they're right where they want to be. And so she lingered behind and she slowly began to backslide. All the while, heart's still in the world. The second sin was that she doubted. Doubted what had been told her by God. You know, I just can't see. I kind of touched on this a few minutes ago. I don't see how somebody knowing that this, thus saith the Lord, the Word of God says that, you know, all fornicators and all drunkards and all idolaters is going to end up in hell. And somebody say, well, you know, I'm just going to go on and do it anyway. I'll go to church. I'm going to do it anyway. You got to doubt that God's telling the truth. You've got to doubt the Word of God. How can you not? How in the world can you say, well, I know that's going to happen. I'm just stick my head in the guillotine and pull the cord. I know the thing's going to fall down, lock my head off. You ain't doing that unless you doubt it's going to fall. But that's what people do. They've got to doubt that. And she doubted what God said. The angel said, don't look back. Man, I believe this is what happened. I bet you that day was a beautiful day. I bet you they got up that morning, man. The sun came up like wherever it came up, obviously from the east. The sun came up, and man, the birds were singing, chirping. It might have been a bluebird sky, just a beautiful day. And she looked around and said, you know, how in the world, this isn't coming to an end today. I wonder what it's going to be like. I bet you when the Lord comes back, I bet it's not going to be storming. Just, I don't have nothing to prove it with. I'm just saying, I bet it's going to be one of them nice days. Everybody think, oh, man, everything's looking good. What a beautiful day. Whoo, man, I believe it was a good day. I believe the sun came up that day and a beautiful morning. And you know how people say, I just can't see how. Dot, 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 fill in the blank. I just can't see how. I just can't see how God is going to destroy this beautiful city. Man, you can't see that wickedness in that city. You can't see it because you know what happens when you see something so much, you become jaded to it. You know what I mean? You just see something over, it doesn't bother you no more. I've seen in Washington, D.C., and it still bothered me, but I've seen in Washington, D.C., there's a gunshot. Guy got shot right off the hood of our truck one time. Just a guy walked up, boom, 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 right there. But little kids out there, somebody get their brains blowed out on the sidewalk. In Washington, D.C., little 10-year-old kids walk up with ice cream cone. Eating ice cream cone, looking at it, and then skip off down the sidewalk. Why? Because they seen it. It doesn't bother them. It doesn't shock them. And after a while, it's not that bad.
Well, he deserved it because he dissed this other guy. He dissed him. He dissed him. You know, that means disrespect. You know, if you don't know the street lingo, that's disrespect. He dissed him. So he shot him.
just the way life was. They got used to it. And see what happened? They saw that. His wife saw that stuff so much, it just didn't bother her no more. She said, well, I don't think the city, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. No, it was awful. It was a wicked city. Man, when you got homosexuals trying to attack angels, men, angels, it's wicked. But what it is, if you're around it all the time, that's why you got to live a separated life. Because if you get around it all the time, after a while, you know what? To you, it's not going to be that bad. Just one little step closer. One little step closer. It's not going to be that bad. And so it was a bit, she couldn't see it. She didn't have faith. And remember, the angels has hold in her hand. The angels had been in her house. She had seen the angels blind those sodomites in the city that night. She saw that. And then God said, the angel said, God's going to judge this city, them same angels. How could she not believe it? How can you be that stupid? And I'm going to tell you, you can be. Can you get any dumber? Oh, yeah. Yeah. How can you be that dumb? But they did. She got, you got to think, man, we're looking at it from the outside, but I'm going to tell you what, we're not too far away from Lot's wife now a lot of times in our compromising with the world. Evidence of God speaking everywhere in her life. And she died lost. You remember them Israelites, man, when God told them when they got up to the Jordan River the first time, go on in, two of the spies came back, 10 spies. Two of them come back and said, man, or 12 spies. Two of them said, thank you, Sam. Two of them said, hey, man, we got it. Let's go in and take it. God's given it to us. It's ours. But the other 10, they didn't have no faith. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe God. God said, it's yours. They didn't believe it. Guess what happened? They wandered in the wilderness 40 years. All of them died except Caleb and Joshua. All of them died except Caleb and Joshua. They just wouldn't believe it. The same thing happened. They perished because of unbelief in spite of the evidence, in spite of this. Man, all that gone on in her life, and she saw it, and yet she was lost. And then the next thing was she doubted. She looked. It was a direct act of rebellion. I don't care what God says. I'm doing what I want to do. You can. There's consequences, though. And she says, see, I'm going to look. And she looked back. Why? Because she loved it, man. It's where her heart was. She loved that city for some unknown reason. I can't explain it. Maybe that's where she's from. I don't know. But she loved that city right there. And she wanted to be there more than anything. I tell you what, if that city hadn't been destroyed, I don't care what God would have said. I don't care what the angel would have said. I believe she'd have went back. She'd have went back. She'd have left her husband. Lot had said, honey, I'm not going back. I'm going back and get a little closer to Abraham or I'm going to go live. And I think she said, well, it's too bad but you're going without me because I'm going back. I believe she'd have left. I mean, listen, if she wouldn't do it for God, she ain't going to do it for her husband. She wouldn't have went back. So we look at our lesson, as I said a minute ago. Listen, we have to live a separated life. And listen, we're going to be doomed to failure. If all our hopes in the world and pleasure in the world and the speech of the world and we're in the world, you know, the Bible says the world loves its own. Listen, man, listen, you're doomed. You're doomed with the world if that's it. I'm not saying there's not an attraction there. If it wasn't an attraction, we wouldn't be, tempted anyway, drawn to it. But listen, God's got something better for us right there. I don't believe Lot's wife indulged in the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't believe that. I don't believe she was as wicked in the wickedness as people were. She was lost. I don't believe she was indulged in those sins. Doesn't say she was a righteous woman like Lot was a righteous man. I believe she might have hated the vilest sins of that city. But she still loved it. Her heart was there all the same. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. And the fourth thing, remembers Lot's wife, she was killed by God. I had a Christian sometime told me one time, oh, God don't kill nobody. I said, well, what kills people? She said, sin. Sin don't kill nobody. Sin's inert. Man, it's not killing. I said, God killed. Who killed Ananias and Sapphira? Sin. I said, no. God killed Ananias and Sapphira. Who turned? You mean sin? Suddenly, she'd been living in the midst of sin all that time. How come she wasn't dead? Sin, she looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. Who did that? God did it, man. God did it. turn into a pillar of salt. As close as she had been, man, married to Lot, in the presence of Abraham, knew about the one true God, angels holding her hand, angels blinding people, and she saw it with her own eyes. Suddenly, she was killed, and she was killed suddenly, instantly, no more time. And the Bible says the Lord's coming back, and this is used in reference to the Lord's return. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I'm going to tell you what, man, no time to repent, no time to pray, no time to get down and say, Lord, I'm sorry, no time to really reevaluate your life and make sure that you really are a saved person. There's not going to be any time. When the Lord comes back, it's over. The instant, like she turned and looked at the city, instantly she turned to a pillar of salt. Not another chance. Not another chance. Now, I'm going to tell you what, we're on the cusp of the Lord coming back. As wicked as this world's getting, I know it can get worse. Trust me, it can get worse. But we're closer today. I'm going to tell you what, he's coming back one day, and either way, I'm going to tell you what, you can die. My buddy Paul Stalls, I buried him last year. We had a funeral for him down there, and his daughter told me he had cancer, and we didn't know nothing about it. But he got out of bed. He is a big boy. And she told me, his daughter Alex said, it looked like he dropped dead when he stepped out of bed. She said he hit the ground so hard that it broke his jaw, and it looked like it broke his nose. He had blood coming out of his eye. She found him laying in the floor. That's how hard. He didn't have time to put his hand down. He didn't have time to catch himself. He didn't have time to grab the side of the bed and fall. He stepped out of the bed, dead. That fast. You can die that fast. Lord, you're going to come back that fast. Moment in a twinkling of an eye. There will be no chance. There will be no chance to back up and do it over and redo. What do they call it in golf? You get a mulligan. You're not going to get a mulligan with this. Huh? Listen, no time to think about it. Head, heart turned towards the world and could not pull herself away. There's a lot of people today, a lot of people in churches that way today. And here's another thing. She perished in the very act of sin. It's one thing, man, you know what, you just commit and sin and then you die and you're off laying there on the lazy boy with a pizza crust on your belly watching Andy Griffith or something and then you die. But I'm going to tell you what, boy, you die right in the act of sin. She turned and disobeyed God with contempt. I don't care what God says. And she looked back at that city. Oh, pillar of salt. And died in the very act of disobedience to God, which, of course, is sin. I wonder how it would have gone in closing. I'll say this. I wonder how it would have gone with Lot's wife if Lot had stayed a separated man. If he had just stayed closer to Abraham, maybe just separated a little bit, or maybe gone in another direction, I wonder how it would have been. Couldn't have been worse. She might not have got saved. But I believe it would have went a little bit better, man. And I think this is the point for us as Christian people. You know, mom and dad, how would it go with your family if you would live a separated life yourself? See, I think the biggest hindrance to really bringing people to Christ, especially in your family, they see you every day. Huh? Oh, man, I've had wives, man. Oh, pray for my husband. And yet, they wouldn't be faithful. The wives themselves wouldn't be faithful to God. Don't you think it'd be easier to convince your husband if you were faithful? And the other way around, there's men too, husbands. Don't you think, or trying to get your kids. When I came up, they had a saying, you know, don't do as I say, dude. Do as I do. You know, don't do as I do as I say do. Well, that's a bad philosophy. These thing on television now, well, this is adult content. You know, it's only good for adults. I'm going to tell you, if it ain't good for kids, it ain't good for you. Huh? If it's something on television that kids can't look at, you probably shouldn't look at it. I mean, that's just But that don't do as I do as I say do, that don't pan out too good. Huh? No, why don't you set the example right there? How different would our families be if we lived a separated life in front of our family? Part of the blame for Lot's wife and how his daughters later turned out, I think it had to fall on Lot. I sure do. I think it fell on Lot. He was the father. He was the head of the family. He was leading. Man, I'm going to tell you what, I left that city. I'd have left. Man, I don't care if my wife wanted to stay or not. Say, honey, you can go back here and live if you want to. I'm leaving. You know, that's what I'd have had. That's what I'd have had to do, man. I couldn't have stayed there day in, day out. And what responsibility falls on us as Christians, responsibility to our families, our neighbors, and even the lost people, man, our testimony and our witness, we got a responsibility there to live a separated life unto God before this world right here. Because that's the only way. You can't act like the world, look like the world, talk like the world, and convince somebody that God's got something better for them. You can't, because they don't see it. If it's so good, then, you know, the sarcastic remark would be, well, if God's got something better for me, why don't you live it? You know, why are you living? Why are you not doing that? We can't compromise. You know, where, and I mean spiritually, really in a spiritual sense, where and how we live. The Bible said Jesus' words in Luke chapter 17. He said, remember Lot's wife. Remember wife, that close to being saved. Let's also.